to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show on this Tuesday morning, the 6th of October 2020. Andrew Ray's with you for the next half hour as we run you through the latest in the world of racing and sport. And goodness me, there is a lot to get through, as always, after the fallout from Monday's dissection. Let's start with Joel Selwood from the Cats. He spoke about his chances of playing this week.
I'll prepare to play, obviously. It was a bit of a whirlwind trip coming back from Adelaide and not knowing what I needed done, but the finger was just, too loose.
Hopefully, for Cats fans, he will be okay. Meanwhile, in the racing world, Mark Zara spoke yesterday about very elegant and no worries with the good track.
Yeah, that's right. A lot was said about her on the good track, and she's only won one on the good track. But, she seemed fine. Like I say, she canted down, no worries. Action was fine, and I think she's no problem on a good track. She's obviously just a lot better on a wet track.
We'll hear what he has to say about the mare heading towards the Caulfield Cup as well in just a second. Meanwhile, in the cricketing world yesterday, another 100 for Meg Lanning. What a star she is as the Aussies beat the Kiwis.
She does it! Lanning, you legend!
We'll bring you the full scores of that and all the IPL from overnight as well as part of a very busy Breakfast Bite next.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
The Breakfast Club returns after 6 this morning. Stacks to get through on a busy Tuesday. Russell Milton will join us covering the EPL. Wasn't that outrageous yesterday? Some of the results that were rolling. It's also transfer deadline day over there. So absolute carnage, as usual, as hundreds of millions of dollars being exchanged between clubs for last-minute deals. The French Open continued overnight. Craig Gabriel will have the latest. Then looking forward to hearing from Josh Rodder, who will chat to us at Trackwork at Caulfield. So we'll have a man on the ground, even though none of us or any of you are allowed to be there. We will have our spy out this morning. Looking forward to hearing from Josh. The early mail before 7, then after 7 this morning, Rodney Eade back with the coaches' quarter. Looking forward to hearing from Rocket, Simon Macken, Victoria in cricket. A great story this. Make sure you're listening after 7:30. John Blakey, he spent a lot of time at the Sydney Swans. Now he's headed back to North where it all started for him. Looking forward to hearing from him before 8, and then after 8, Annabelle Sutherland, Aussie all-rounder to join Huff and Whitey. Meanwhile, after 8:30 this morning, Racing Pulse returns with Michael Felger. As always on a Tuesday, looking forward to Top of the Hill with Matty Hill and all the latest from the world of racing from his point of view. And then after 10:30 this morning, Gareth Hall with RSN Central. Don't forget, the Tuesday Hacks, a feature of every Tuesday. And always good to listen to Wayne Hawks. I'm sure he'll be on air at the top of the show with Gareth. He's got a couple of very interesting runners ahead of Caulfield this weekend. Let's start the Breakfast Bite, though, with the footy. Joel Selwood, as you heard, his finger was a bit loose, so he didn't know what was happening. He's had surgery. He's hoping to play. Here's the latest from the Cats skipper yesterday.
I'll prepare to play, obviously. It was a bit of a whirlwind trip coming back from Adelaide and not knowing what I needed done, but the finger was just, too loose. Friday will be the day that, I'll do a little bit of tackling and I'll do a little bit of, just the natural ball work that I need to do, but feeling really confident that it'll be fine. I think it'll just be movement, feel good. It's feeling really good at the moment. Dust ourselves off and pick ourselves up. We would have loved to win on the weekend. It wasn't the case. So we'll just move on and control what we can.
There is another slight setback, though, for a Cats midfielder. Simon Lloyd here speaking about Jack Stephen.
Jack Stephen played on the weekend in the game against Richmond Port Adelaide, the mixed game, the match sim, and Jack was playing very well, but unfortunately had a small hamstring strain, so that'll rule him out for this week. But look, it was unfortunate because Jack had been going so well, so we'll expect him to do his rehab and recover as quickly as he can.
very somber music in the background. I thought he might have retired. It was going that badly, but good luck to Jack Stephen in his recovery from that hamstring injury. Hopefully he can get back if the Cats are to progress beyond this week. Let's head to the Saints. Before we hear from Paddy Ryder, speaking of unfortunate stories, he'll chat in just a second. But last night, Ben Long, his ban at the tribunal was upheld, so the Saints are set to appeal his one-match suspension for rough conduct. So it was almost an hour of arguments and half an hour of deliberation last night as the jury disagreed with St Kilda that the impact should be downgraded from medium to low, and it is expected now that the Saints will appeal that decision from last night. Let's hear from Paddy Ryder, another man who probably won't be taking his place this week after that devastating hamstring injury in the final moments of the win over the Western Bulldogs. He spoke yesterday.
A little bit flat, but yeah, with the injury, but it was it's been an awesome year, and to get out there last night and playing my first winning final, even though it ended a bit sour on a personal note, but yeah, to get through the game and be able to contribute to the boys to be able to get the win, and then yeah, just looking forward to seeing the boys go out and hopefully get another win this week and march on from there. A little bit sore, yeah, but definitely done the hammy tendon, so I've got to head back to Victoria and book in for surgery and get that done, and then get the rehab process underway. Yeah, we've been competitive all year with all the good sides, all the top sides. So, you know, we're going to have some role players come in from the non-playing squad that's been training the house down and playing well in the little scratch matches. So, you know, the belief there for the boys, and, yeah, look forward to watching them go to work.
Paddy Ryder there speaking yesterday. So unfortunate for himself, who finally won a final, but he'll be out for this week and some time to come. Let's head to Jake Carlisle. He won't be a part of the lineup this week either. He is leaving the hub to attend the birth of his third child.
I'm devastated to leave the guys, but as you said before, it's going to be a great opportunity for other guys to step up and to be successful. You need more than 22 players, so it doesn't matter if you've got your best 22 or your best 30 out there, as long as they're representing the club. I'm confident they can try and win. But yeah, got to go home and make the tough decision. So as we all know, we do everything for family. And I think the part of the emotions last night was knowing that it was my last game for this year anyway. So I'm obviously excited to get back home and meet the little man of number three coming along. So, but more importantly, to see Mel and Nash and Laker. So it's been an emotional time here. I think we've spent 91 days. You know, some guys have had their family up here. I had mine up here for a week, and that was one of the best weeks I've had in a long time. And it's going to be emotional when I do see him tomorrow, but I'm bloody wrapped with what I've been able to do, because not only everything's for the club, but for them as well. And to provide for them with all the love I can from so far away is all I can do. And yeah, I suppose they've been a great support and motivator as well along the way. So I'm sort of excited to get back home.
Before we leave footy, let's head to Nathan Buckley speaking on AFL 360 on Fox Sports last night on his decision. He's got a big one to make regarding the ruck situation.
Well, we thought that the ruck contest would be pivotal. We can't have done a great job because he was unanimously best on ground. But he just played an exceptional game, Nick, and was a constant thorn in our side. The initial plan was to allow Brody to go head to head with Nick and have Dusty Cameron there to take Oscar Allen on. In the end, the evidence of the first half suggested that Dusty was actually competing really well against Nick, and we decided to go more 50-50 in that second half. And he did really well, not just in ruck contest, but around the ground. And I think it was important because I thought Brody, the tackle that he laid late in the third quarter was crucial.
Yep.
On Jack Darling. And I thought his last quarter was excellent. with reduced time, but his impact was very important for us. So we felt that that was that gave us the capacity to buffer who was ultimately going to be a thorn in our side, and was still the best player on the ground. But once again, we thought that our boys battled away really well. You know, Darcy's capacity to get back in behind the ball, he's shown that to be a real strength of his. So we thought it was probably 50-50 for the ruck contest, but that he could help us. And ultimately, he was involved in that centre bounce clearance. You know, Brody Grundy's our number one ruckman. He'll be in the centre bounce on Saturday night at the first bounce, and he'll be front and centre for the rest of our campaign. The way he always has been huge for us. I can understand the commentary about it and the analysis of it, but given what we needed in the game, we thought that both of those guys were well beaten on the night, but they both plugged away really well.
There we go. Nathan Buckley speaking on AFL 360 last night. Let's head to the racing world. Mark Zara here speaking yesterday on Racing Pulse on Very Elegant's chances ahead of the Corfu Cup on Saturday week.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like you say, I didn't have the, you know, it wasn't like I had a world perfect run. So for it to come out and still win after that is a good sign. And yeah, I don't think I would be worried about too many of the ones behind me, I don't reckon, especially if we get a little bit of rain. So, no, I'm pretty confident heading into the Caulfield Cup.
To Trent Busserton now, he'll gain a lot of confidence after Mirage Dancer's huge win on the weekend. Here he was speaking ahead of his Caulfield Cup chances.
Look, we've never been unhappy with him. He'd come last year, he had a pretty, not ordinary, his coat was in between, you know, he'd grown half a winter coat, so he was looking a bit woolly, a bit dull. But sort of he's been going good all the way through, but just we were hoping obviously that he was going to be that boom weight for age horse, which he hasn't been. But he hasn't gone badly in any of his races. He's just sort of been anchored down with big weights because of that high rating he came in with.
Well, he's got 55 in the Caulfield Cup this year. Do you think he's better placed than he was this time 12 months ago?
I think it's probably exactly the same, you know, like he, what did he have last year, 55 and a half, and they might have, I think they may have raised the weight kilo last year, but look.
No, I think he had 56 and then, yeah.
Yeah, a couple of, look, he's obviously got to lift a couple of levels, no doubt about that. There's no questioning that. The Caulfield Cup will be a lot stronger than the Metrop, but, you know, he's done the job now, and sometimes those old horses or horses in general, they struggle to win a race for a while and then they get their head in front and gives them a bit of confidence. But look, we'll go to the Caulfield Cup and just the owners and we'll enjoy the ride. He owes them nothing now and I'm sure he'll run to his best. Whether that's good enough to win the race, we'll find out. But it'll be nice to have another runner in the race.
Trent Busserton there speaking yesterday. Before we head to the ad break, time to hear from Meg Lanning as the Australian women were far too good yesterday for New Zealand. New Zealand making 9 for 252. The Aussies chasing it down with almost 5 overs to spare for the loss of 6 wickets. Lanning making 101 not out from 96 deliveries. The final ball of the inning, smashing it for 4 to bring up another ton.
Yeah, the tone is always in the back of your mind, I guess. But for me, it's just about getting in to start with. So the first 20 balls, having good intent, putting away the bad ball, but just having really good footwork early on. And then it's just about batting time and getting the tempo right. Having the intent right that you can put the bad ball away, but just be happy, I guess, to take the singles that are on offer, build a big partnership. And for us, it was just about getting to 40 overs with wickets in hand. And then if we needed to step the foot down a little bit, we could. But we actually didn't need to today. We were able to keep the run rate under control and finish it off a little bit early, which was good.
A few 20s in the T20 games and then 60-odd not out and 100 today. You're feeling as good as ever in your career, I guess?
Yeah, the T20 series was frustrating. I guess not a lot of batters got going from either side. And 20 is better than zero, but 20s do really annoy me, especially a couple in a row. So it's been nice to get out here in the 50-over format and spend a little bit more time in the middle and not really have that scoreboard pressure to get it moving as much as perhaps in the T20 format. So it probably sits a little bit more naturally with me just to be able to build the innings and then accelerate if I need to.
Meg, do you start thinking about the record streak now? I mean, obviously you've got a chance to equal it in game three?
Look, we go out to win every game that we play, and it'll be no different on Wednesday. We haven't spoken about the record as a group. Obviously, we're aware of it. It's been in the media and spoken about a fair bit. And it's a nice position to be in, I guess. And, yeah, on Wednesday, we'll be coming out to win the game as we usually do and expect New Zealand to give us a good contest. So hopefully we can finish off the series well. We've been able to do that well over the past sort of 3 years and not sort of let sides back in. So we'll certainly be looking to do that on Wednesday.
Meg Lanning speaking there yesterday. Time for a break. On the other side of this, we'll catch up with all the overseas scores from the last 24 hours. NBA, French Open, golf, and the IPL from overnight as well.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Butler the drive, the runner, he banks it in. Oh, what a masterpiece from Jimmy Butler. And the Heat go up by 9 with 1:13 remaining.
An extraordinary result yesterday for the Miami Heat, 115-104 over the LA Lakers, getting themselves back into the NBA Finals. They lead the LA lead the series now 2-1. Let's hear from Jimmy Butler. He had a huge game, his best ever career performance yesterday to lead the Heat to the 11-point win.
We rebounded. That's going to be the key going forward. We got to keep those guys off the boards, limit their second-chance points. We got back pretty well. It also helps to make shots, so never get me wrong. But I'm glad we get some people back.
You had a 40-point triple-double tonight in an NBA Finals game. That is the best game of your career so far. What was your mindset throughout every minute?
Win. I don't care about a triple. I don't care about none of that. I really don't. I want to win. We did that. I'm happy with the outcome.
How have you guys reset this series now that it's 2-1?
I think we realize that we belong. That they can't be beat as long as we do what we're supposed to do. But coming the next game, I know they're going to be so much better, and we got to be able to match that energy.
There we go, Jimmy Butler after the win yesterday. Meanwhile, let's head to the French Open now from overnight as Petra Kvitova booked her place in the quarterfinals.
Paints the line.
Has she?
What a way to finish if she has found the line.
And she did, Petra Kvitova. She's through to the quarterfinals after a straight sets victory. So one of the highest seeds there, number 7 she is. She survives after there was a few casualties yesterday. Sophia Kennan also through. She lost the first set 2-6, but then won 6-2, 6-1. So the number 4 seed is through. And Laura Siegemund from Germany is also through after winning in straight sets. On the men's side of things, big match here between Stefanos Tsitsipas and Grigor Dimitrov, and it was Tsitsipas prevailing in straight sets, 6-3, 7-6, 6-2. The number 5 seed progresses. Easy for Novak Djokovic over Karen Khachanov, through in straight sets, 4-3 and 3. And Alexander Rublev booked his place in the quarterfinals with a 4-set victory over Fuchskovic, 6-7. 7-5, 6-4, 7-6. So that brings you up to date with everything that happened at the French Open from overnight. Sergio Garcia was a great winner yesterday on the PGA Tour. He finished at 19 under the card. Well done to Australia's Cameron Davis, who recovered from a shaky start to finish at 14 under, just 5 shots behind the leader and in a tie for 6th place. So a great finish for the young Australian. Let's hear from Sergio after the win. And a calendar change, which forced him to have a bit of a stop off in the US.
It's great. They've taken amazing care of us, Joe, and everyone around. I watched this tournament last year, and I thought, obviously, a friend of mine, Sebastián Muñoz, won, and I thought, that looks like a really nice course, and. This year, because of everything, you know, I should be, funny enough, the Ryder Cup should have been last week. I probably should have been in Europe if things would have been normal. Because of COVID and everything, it kind of changed my schedule a little bit. And, I'm able to play a few tournaments in the fall. It was really, really great to be here, to play the way I played, to believe in myself the way I did, and really, really proud.
Sergio Garcia speaking there yesterday. Before we head back to footy to finish the show this morning, bit of NRL news. The Melbourne Storm being issued a please explain after one of the trainers called for a stop to the game only for a bit of cramp from Suliasi Vunivalu. Now, obviously, the trainers have the power to stop the game just in case there is a serious injury, but obviously with cramp, not that serious. And Graham Annesley yesterday spoke about the intentional stopping of a game and how it needs to stop.
Any trainer who attempts to unnecessarily stop play for tactical reasons will not only be liable to penalty under the provisions of the NRL rules, but may also be ordered from the playing area for the remainder of the match. Rules are pretty clear. I mean, we need to seek an explanation from the Storm about that incident, which we will do. But on the face of it, it would appear to be a contravention of our rules. And we'll be in touch with the Storm and we'll decide whether that matter goes any further. The other point that I would make is that the referees who have come into some criticism when these types of things happen are not to blame at all. We had an incident, you might recall, early last year where referees allowed the play to go after trainers tried to stop the game, and in that case it was a serious incident, and a player had a broken ankle and the referees played on, and the referees were both dropped as a result of that. So whenever a trainer tries to stop a game, the referees will respond to that. But we have to make sure that games are only being stopped appropriately, and where we feel that a club has a case to answer, then we'll follow that through, as we will with this incident.
Graham Annesley speaking there yesterday. Just in the IPL from overnight as well, Delhi Capitals and the Royal Challengers Bangalore. Delhi Capitals made 4 for 196, and the Royal Challengers Bangalore falling well short, losing by 59 runs, 9 for 137 in reply. The star of the Capitals, though, was Marcus Stoinis, who made 53 not out from 26 deliveries, 6 fours and 2 sixes to fire them to that total over 190, and they are way too strong for the Royal Challengers Bangalore. Aaron Finch couldn't get going at the top of the order. He made 13 from 14 before he was caught by keeper Pant and bobbed by Patel. So that's how it finished for the Aussies in the IPL overnight. Let's head back to the footy world. Just to wrap up, we'll hear from Rowan Marshall. In case you missed the news from the tribunal last night, Ben Long's suspension has been upheld. The Saints expected to announce their appeal this morning. Let's hear from Rowan Marshall, who this week will be working without another Saint, Paddy Ryder.
I've loved playing with him. He's been awesome for my development and been awesome for the team as well. So, it was, pretty sad. Just do whatever the sort of team needs. And I think I did that a lot of the time last year. So I'm looking forward to the challenge. Nian Curvis is a pretty good ruckman. I'll sort of spend a bit more time with the mids and look a bit more at Nian Curvis. We'll go back and sort of have a look at ways we played well in that game and take bits and pieces out of that game. And it's exciting times. But we're 1 week down. We've got to focus our attention on Richmond.
Plenty to come on the Breakfast Club this morning. Make sure you stick around with Huff and Whitey. It is going to be a massive Tuesday morning. Don't forget Racing Pulse after 8:30 and after 10:30, RSN Central with Gareth Orr. It's all happening here. Make sure you stay tuned to RSN.